Let's read Psalms 139. Let me get there. And of course, this is just an amazing psalm. I'm going to break it down into pieces for you so that you can kind of, matter of fact, let me just kind of give you the outline before I start reading it. And that way, as we go to the different sections, you can kind of follow along. Verses 1 through 6, we'll kind of break it into four parts. Verses 1 through 6, what does it teach us? God knows me. God knows me. And then I wrote after that, I cannot fool him. God knows me. I cannot fool him. And then verses 7 through 12, God sees me. I cannot hide from him. And then verses 13 through 22, this is precious. God made me. I am precious to him. And then the last two verses, we'll get there. Search me, O God, know my heart. How about this? God searches me. I need to be honest with him. Now, think of those four great truths before we read this. God knows me. If every Christian really believed it, every Christian, you know, one of the most precious doctrines of the Bible is the omniscience of God and the omnipresence of God. And that is going to be highlighted in this psalm. And if every single Christian became fully convinced of these things, God knows me, so I can't fool him. So why are we trying to fool God? Okay, God sees me. I cannot hide from him. We really lived our lives believing that we're living it in the presence of the Lord and under his watch care. And then a reminder, I love this, verse 13 through 22. God made me, I am precious to him, and God searches me. And by the way, we ought to invite him to search us. He's going to do it anyway. But I love that David said, Lord, I want you to search me. And because he searches us, I need to be honest with him. Let's begin in verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Now that's verses 1 through 6. God knows me. Verses 7 through 12. God sees me. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 13, we just read down to verse 22. God made me, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O Lord. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And then these last two verses, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to lift up brothers Andrew Steers, Lord, and our hearts are stirred. Many of the folks in this room, at least some, have gone through this. They've gone through this loss. They've gone through this heartache of losing a spouse. And Lord, probably in a very special way, they will carry Brother Steers in their prayers and in their heart in the weeks ahead. But Lord, we do want to lift him up. Lord, I know he's battling his own health issues. I pray, Lord, that you'd give him the desires of his heart. I know he wants to continue to serve you. I know he wants to return to Australia. Lord, I know, dear God, that he's going to need physical help and healing and strength, Lord, to be able to do the things that he wants to do. And so, Lord, you know all of these things. We were just reminded, Lord, of all of these things when we read this psalm. So be with him. And Lord, according to your will, dear God, you use him going forward. Now, Lord, thank you for the Bible and thank you for this unique psalm. And Lord, may we be reminded of some things that draw us closer to you. And Lord, that causes us to keep you, Lord, in our hearts and in our mind and in our thinking this week in a way maybe that we haven't for some time. And Lord, may we be very aware, hyper aware, dear Lord, of your presence in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Great. Good. Good. Well, I like this psalm for so many reasons, but I think it covers the gamut of God's relationship with us. He knows me. I cannot fool him. He sees me. I cannot hide from him. He made me. I am precious to him. God searches me. I need to be honest with him. And God knows me. I cannot fool him. Look, if you will, in the first six verses. Let's cover that. Again, I mentioned the great doctrines of the omnipresence and the omniscience of God. Folks, that he's all ever present, always present, and all knowing in our lives. He sees me at all times. Verse 1, 2, and 3, Lord, thou knowest me, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Now, folks, that sounds like to me from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, God's hyper aware of exactly where we are and watches over us and takes care of us. And he knows my down sitting. So he, when Jerry Ross sits down, he knows it. When I stand up, he knows it. No matter what direction I walk, he knows the path that I'm going to take. And God knows me, and I can't fool him. He reads all of my thoughts. Think about that in verse 2. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understand my thought afar off. And I think, folks, including God in your thinking process is a good thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a healthy thing that when you're thinking through situations or you're trying to solve problems or you're you know, maybe sometimes mulling over concerns or heartaches. It's wonderful to be able to include God in your thinking. You know, I think that there's a need for prayer. Obviously, the Bible teaches the importance of prayer. And but I think, folks, that sometimes we separate this idea of a time with the Lord. This is the time I spend with the Lord. And then so I meet with him. And then I tell him goodbye, and then I'll see him that next same time the next morning. And I think that that's a very kind of honestly unbiblical view of having a relationship with God. Folks, you don't go see God and then leave his presence. We'll talk about that in a minute. He's with you every moment of every day. And it's wonderful in your thinking, as you're going through your thought processes, as you're trying to solve problems, as you, come on, folks, we all do, face some anxiety and some worry over certain situations, that we can just include him in the process of our thinking And, you know, I think if you're thinking and you understand God understands your thoughts and you're thinking, including God's presence in those thoughts, it's a very natural and normal thing to pray in the midst of thinking. I'll be thinking about a situation, and next thing you know, I'm talking to the Lord about it. Then I start thinking about this situation. Next thing you know, I'm talking to the Lord about it. And I'm aware that He's aware of my thoughts. And I want Him there. I want Him in those mental meetings. I want Him even in those times of worry and anxiety. I want His presence. I want His guidance. You know, sometimes, you know, folks, there's situations come into our life and there's not a thing we can do about it but pray. But there's also sometimes where I'm thinking through situations that maybe I don't feel like I have any control over or I'm not sure what to do about. But, you know, as I'm thinking through it, all of a sudden the Lord will say to me, well, why don't you do this? And it might be something as simple as send a note or send a text. It might be something as simple as stopping by and seeing somebody. It might be something that the Lord just gives you where He says, you know, the next time you see them, say this to them. Now, folks, that's a pretty neat way to live your life. You know, I guess we can stumble and bumble our way through this thing in our own power and our own intellect and our own cunning and our own with all of our own plans. But remember Psalms 139, folks. To me, this is a psalm that basically God is saying, I want to be a part of every part of your life, everything you do, every minute of every day. I'm here. I'm here. You know, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. And so we see that God knows me. I cannot fool Him. He reads all my thoughts. How about this verse number 4? Will this help us maybe a little bit to stop and pause before we say some of the things maybe we ought not say? Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And so here, He sees where I am. He reads all my thoughts. You get to verse number 4. He hears all my words at all times. And then again, we are reassured of His presence, verse 5 and 6. And I love this. You know, think about this. As you're walking through life, think of verse 5 and 6, okay? Now remember, folks, God's omnipresent. And He can be present in a way that no human being can be present in our life. Look at verse 6. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Okay, now, folks, if I take a walk with my wife, I got to make a choice, okay? I can walk ahead of her, I can walk beside her, or I can walk behind her, but I will tell you this, I can't do all three. Hey, aren't you glad you have a God that can do all three? I mean, folks, when I'm walking the path of life tomorrow, God's walking before me. And by the way, at the same time, He's walking behind me. I'm kind of glad. Listen, you can hire all kinds of bodyguards. I think I'll just take God. Amen. I think I'll just take God's presence. I'm glad that He can walk ahead of me, at the same time walk behind me. And then, so thou hast beset me behind and before. Now watch this. So while He's walking ahead of me and while He's walking behind me, the Bible says, and laid thine hand upon me. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good about the rest of the day. I'm thinking I'm feeling pretty good about tomorrow. I'm feeling pretty good about the rest of the week. Because, folks, listen to me. So much of our fear and so much of our anxiety comes from, I think, a forgetfulness concerning the presence of the Lord in our lives. And so, you know what? I'm glad that that's not just true of me. I'm glad that's true of my wife. Okay, I'm glad that, you know what, I can kiss her goodbye in the morning, and you know where we go and do our separate things, and we accomplish what we both need to accomplish throughout the day, and then Lord willing, God brings us back together that night, and we get to kind of recount the day, and you know what, I'm glad that when my wife leaves the house, God's going before her, and God's going behind her, and His good hand is laid upon her, and by the way, aren't you glad that that can be true of your children? Come on, folks. A lot of us in here, most of us in here, you know, a lot of us at least are in the grandpa and grandma phase. Aren't you glad that's true of your grandchildren? You know, I mean, there's not a one of us that don't spend a little extra time maybe thinking about our grandkids and sometimes worrying and anxious and wanting God's best for them and wanting God's protection on them. It's so exciting to think that God cares enough about us to do these things. And in verse 6, I think, what a reaction, the same reaction I guess we're all feeling right now. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. There's some things about God that's just hard for us to wrap our brains around. The fact, because again, we see human relationships. We judge things according to what man can do. And then every once in a while, come on, we're reminded in a psalm like this where God says, guess what? I'm not a man. And I don't have those limitations. And you know what? I'm here. I know you. I see where you're at all times. I can read your thoughts. I hear your words. And by the way, I'll walk ahead of you and I'll walk behind you. And while I'm doing those things, I'll lay my good hand upon you. Folks, I don't know about you, but there's no better place than to be in the will of God. I don't want to run ahead of God. I don't want to drag my feet and get behind God. I don't want to get outside the umbrella of his protection. I decided I'm going to run off and do my own thing. I just want to live in the will of God, in the presence of God, and let him guide me each and every day. That's a good way to live your life. So number one, God knows me. I cannot fool him. A great reminder, folks, of the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God. Look at verse 7 through 12. God sees me, I cannot hide from him. Now, he alludes to that in the first three verses, but he kind of settles in on it down in verse number 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? What? Those are two great questions. All right, so here's what the psalmist propose. Here's the questions he's going to ask. Is there any place that I can go and escape the Spirit of the Lord? Is there any place I could flee to where the presence of God is not there? And you know, folks, when we ask a Bible question, I always say, make sure you answer it with a Bible answer. Well, he's about to answer it with a Bible answer. You know, for years, I've kind of resurrected this sermon in a few places lately. For years, early on, I'm talking about my 30s and 40s, a lot of times when I would go to a youth conference, a youth camp, I'd preach a message entitled Hide and Seek. And I'd go back to the third chapter of Genesis where, you know, Adam and Eve, come on, Eve is deceived by the devil, Adam follows, and they both partake of the fruit, and then they hear the presence of the Lord, the voice of the Lord calling, and they go hide themselves. And he says, Adam, where art thou? And, you know, we have a little fun with that story because I tell everybody that's the first game of hide and seek that you'll ever read about in the Bible. And here's a man and a woman thinking they can hide from God. And God even calls to them. Now, folks, God didn't call to them because he didn't know where they were. He called to them because he wanted them to come to him. And he still, come on, calls to us today because he wants us to come to him. And, I asked the question to the kids twice in that portion of scripture. Adam tells them, well, we hid ourselves from you, Lord. We hid ourselves. And I said, ask the young people, can a man hide from God? And I always then say, go to Psalms 139. If we're going to figure out what's going on in Genesis 3, we better establish something. We better answer a question. Can a man hide from God? Is there any place you can go where you're not in the presence of God? Well, let's, like I said, here's the question asked twice. Verse 8 begins the answer. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Well, folks, I think that pretty much settles it. I don't know how any of us could come to any other conclusion, any other answer to the question, can a man hide from God? No, there's no place you can go that you can flee from the presence of the Lord. And, you know, folks, we read in Jonah, and, you know, here's a man that tried it. There's a man that tried to say, well, I'm going to go somewhere where there's not God. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. And then you get to verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee. And here's what it says. But Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Okay, that was what he thought. That's his plan. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Okay, God knows where I'm at, and he's telling me to go somewhere I don't want to go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go jump on a ship, and I'm going to go somewhere where he can't find me. Now, folks, we laugh at it, but that's what he did. And by the way, as foolish as it may sound, I see people today pulling the same stunt where they got this idea that, you know, because they quit church, all of a sudden they're going to get away from the Lord. Okay, if I get out of church, I'll get away from the folks. There's nowhere we can go where we're going to get out of the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah, he tried it. I won't take you there. You know the story of Jonah and the well. But Jonah fled to a ship. And, you know, he said, but Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. So he got on a ship, and you know what he found out? God was there. He sailed out into the sea, and guess what he found out? God was there. He was thrown into the storm, and guess what he found out? In the middle of the sea, God was there. He ended up in the belly of a well. Guess what he found out? God was there. He repented and agreed to go preach in Nineveh. And by the way, God went with him, and God used him in great power there. And then he powdered under a gourd, and guess what? God was there. How foolish to think, folks, that we can flee from the presence of the Lord. And this Psalms 139, the search me psalm, I call it, reminds us, you know, folks, that listen, when there's no place we can go, there's no place we can hide. Think about this. Verses 1 through 6, I want to remind you again, God knows me, I cannot fool him. Verses 7 through 12, God sees me, I cannot hide from him. I love this. Verse 13 through 22, God made me, I am precious to him. And then God searches me, I need to be honest with him. And so God knows me, verse 1 through 6, God sees me, I cannot hide from him. And so you see people in the Bible that think that they can hide from the Lord or maybe hide their sin from the Lord. Folks, what a foolish thing. One of the things we need to teach our young people and remind our young people is the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God. You know, there's all kinds of stories in the Bible we could go to. There was a man by the name of Achan. And you know the story of Achan, the first great battle as the children of Israel enter into the land of Canaan. And that they faced Jericho, and you know, they march around Jericho once and twice and three times and four times and five times. And the sixth day, they march around again. On the seventh day, they march around seven times and shout, and the walls come tumbling down. Oh, wait a minute, wait, time out. Before all that happened, there was an instruction that was given from the Lord. This was the first fruits. This was the first victory. And so they said this, you take the gold and you take the silver and you dedicate every single bit of it to the Lord. All of it, the first fruits go to the Lord. And he said, everything else you burn with fire. Isn't that interesting, folks? He said, the gold and the silver you dedicate to the Lord. Everything else in Jericho, everything else in that heathen culture, burn it. He didn't want anything in any of their homes to have influence on the children of Israel on the way that they lived. Just burn it. And so, isn't it interesting? So many times you'll see this thing in the Bible, folks. What got him? What got Achan? You know, gold. He wanted the gold and he wanted the silver, you know, that belonged to the Lord. He decided, well, you know, it ain't going to hurt for me to keep a little bit else. And what else? The Babylonian garments. You know why God wanted him to burn all of those things? Because he didn't want the way the heathen dressed to influence the way God's people dressed. And yet he picked that out and said, well, you know, that looks good. Hey, that's a new style. Hey, nobody's wearing that in Israel. Well, maybe there's a reason they're not. Maybe there's a reason they shouldn't. And it was the garments. How many times do I see people backslide because they want to dress like the world? How many times have I watched I've watched people in this church, folks, I was mean enough I could name names, walk away from an opportunity to sing, to teach a Sunday school class because they decided they wanted to dress like the world. And then turn around and want to make me the bad guy. Okay, how much are we going to, listen, what's that pair of, ladies, what's that pair of britches worth to you? What's that swimsuit worth? What's that pair of shorts worth to you? Is it more important? Is it more important than the things of the Lord? Is it more important than holiness? Is it more important than modesty? Is it more important than a Christian testimony? Is it more important than opportunity to sing in the choir or sing or teach a Sunday school class or be used of God in a higher? I just shake my head and I look at people and think, wow, that's worth that much to you. And it was to Achan. Now, we're getting somewhere. I just took a little rabbit trail, but that's good for us to hear once in a while. So then Achan takes this stuff, and what's he do? But this is what's so funny, you know. It's one thing if you're going to take Babylonian garments. Well, if you're going to take them, aren't you going to wear them? No. You know why? Because he knows in his heart he's doing the wrong thing. Okay? So what does he do? He goes in his tent, digs a hole, and buries them. I don't know what that good that's. I mean, besides get them all dirty, I don't know what the deal was with that. You know, but that's what he did. Now, folks, come on, Psalms 139, we're in the middle of it. So I see them going into Jericho, and I see him entering into a home, and I see that he finds himself by himself. Watch this, finds himself by himself. Is he by himself? He thinks he's by himself. Somehow he forgot about the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God. You know what, folks, listen. If you'll go back, most of the mistakes we've made in life and the silly decisions and the sinful acts that we've committed in our life came at a moment where we decided in our mind we were alone. And guess what? You're never alone. This is why I'm saying this doctrine is so powerful if we'd let it have influence in our life. And so a lot of times I like this out to teenager. I'll say Achan came in and he's seen that gold and he's seen that silver and he's seen those Babylonian garments. And I said, I know the Bible doesn't say this, but if you study human nature, there's a good chance he went over to one window and went like that, and went to the window and looked like that, went to a window and looked like that, peeked out the door, and then he looked around and he went, and I say, hey, he forgot to look one direction. There you go. Come on. And how many times in our life have we messed up because we did this? And we did. Come on, teenagers think, well, mom and dad's not here. They're not going to know about it. Well, God's here. God's here. Young couples, you know. Well, come on. We can do this. We can go here. Preacher ain't going to find out. Why are you more worried about what the preacher knows or sees than you are what God knows and sees? Better get your priorities figured out, okay? You're not going to stand before my throne and answer one of these days, but you will stand before his throne and answer one of these days. And it just seems like, folks, listen, this is a good thing for us to just understand that God sees me. I cannot hide from him. God knows me. I cannot fool him. And then to begin to live out our lives, understanding that every day we live in the presence of the Lord. By the way, didn't we just say as we walk, come on, first six verses, as we walk, he's ahead of us. As we walk, he's behind us. As we walk through life, his good hand's upon us. By the way, that's all good, and we're all glad to have that when it comes to protection. But do we want it when it comes to purity, and the purity of life that we ought to live? And so understand that we live our life within the presence of the Lord. When you sin, folks, and we all will, watch this. Do not try to hide our sin from God. Don't try to hide your sin from God or blame others. You know, just take personal responsibility. It's okay. You know, we're all going to mess up. Nobody's perfect. And repent. You know, repentance means it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. It's not somebody else's. It's not somebody else's fault. You know, we're still stuck in Genesis 3. Where we're playing the blame game all the time. you know, and, you know, he confronts Adam. He said, well, the woman thou gavest me, and he confronts the woman. Well, the serpent, and you know, we haven't stopped doing some of this stuff. You know, if you mess up, you messed up. If you did wrong, you did wrong. Aren't you glad for 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, it says if we confess our sins, not if we blame somebody else. Okay, not if we get mad because somebody pointed it out to us or the preacher preached on it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, we live in the presence at every moment of every day in the presence of a holy God. And folks, we're going to fall short, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. We're going to fall short of the mark. We're going to miss the mark. But aren't you glad at any moment of any day we can bow our head and say, Heavenly Father, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have thought that, or I shouldn't have done that. Please, Lord, forgive me. I want to live for you. I want to be better for you. Please help me the rest of the day. And God just takes that thing and wipes it all away and comes alongside, wraps his arm around you and says, come on, come on, take the next step. I'll help you. Let's get through this day. That's a pretty good way to live your life. That's just a pretty good way to live your life. And then I love verse 13 through 22, and this is kind of a lengthy portion here, but God made me, and I am precious to him. So think about this. Psalms 139, God knows me. I cannot fool him. God sees me. I cannot hide from him. God made me. I am precious to him. And if you think about verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. I love verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That's a reference to the womb, by the way. Thine eyes did see my substance. Think about this. Yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So when somebody says to you, you know what, you existed in the mind of God before you ever existed, that's true statement. That's King James Holy Bible. You know what? God reached, I believe this. I think the Bible teaches it in Jeremiah chapter 1, teaches it in a verse in Ezekiel. But I believe that the hands of God form every single person in the womb, and God makes them the way he wants to make them. You know, folks, there's a pretty special young man sitting right back there. And you know what? I had fun with him in the Sunday school hour. Anthony, your pastor loves you. You know that? And he's a pretty important part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I miss when he's not here because I don't even know what Zacchaeus' name is. If he doesn't help me to tell him, and then I forget the last thing we're supposed to do, and he says, pray, you know, and reminds me that it's time to pray. And folks, you know what, you can go ahead if you want to and look at someone like that and feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him. I know God made him to be a gift to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and a gift to his family. And you know what, JK came to me and he's got this third place medal from Special Olympics that he's walking around with. And every time he gets a trophy or a medal, he's got to go show the preacher. You know why? Because he's rubbing it in. He knows I don't have any trophies and I don't have any ribbons and he wants me to see it. Hey, you know, folks, hey, God didn't make a mistake. You know what? God, and by the way, he didn't make a mistake when he made you either. And he made you who he wanted you to be, and he gave you the personality he wanted you to have. And you know what? I hate this. The world tries to build within our young ladies and our young men such a dissatisfaction with themselves. And you know what? What they need to do is just say, you know what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And God made me who I am, and God made me look the way I look, and God gave me the personality he gave me. And I can bring God glory in a unique and special way, not like any other person in his creation. And, you know, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. You know, folks, I read something one time, and we've got to make sure you get all this statement. I read this one time when I was in Bible college on, I can remember, it was one of the staff members that worked at the college. His office door, he had this. He said, be you, just be a spirit-filled you. And I like that. I like that. Be you, just be a spirit-filled you. Because somebody can, we can sometimes say, well, just be yourself, just be you. And well, sometimes me's not a real good thing, okay? So I kind of like that little qualification. You know what, be you, but be a spirit-filled you. And you know what, if every single day I just say, Lord, listen, you know, folks, listen. I mean, now y'all are used to me, okay? But there was a day that I was the new pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And, you know, one of the things about transitioning and following behind someone like Pastor Robert Ross, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, you talk about big shoes to fill. And you talk about a man with a godliness and a holiness and a level of character and a uniqueness of personality and a wonderful in handling the Bible and teaching the Bible and explaining the Bible. And folks, listen to me. Aren't you glad, those of you that was influenced by him, aren't you glad he touched your life? I mean, come on now. And yet, folks, listen to me. You know what? I can't be him. And one of the biggest mistakes sometimes I see people do is they're trying to be somebody else. Just be you. Listen, be you, but be a spirit-filled you. You know, sometimes ladies, well, I never could be like this lady, and I never can be. And they look at people in the church. You know, the Bible says when we compare ourselves among ourselves, it's not a wise thing. And, well, God didn't make you to be them. So what are you even talking about? Why do we fall into that trap, you know? Hey, I'll tell you, it happens to preachers. Sometimes I'll go to a conference and some preacher will get up and he'll preach a message. And my goodness sakes, I think, you know, R.G. Lee has been resurrected from the dead. And he hardly looks at his notes and he's fluent and every statement's perfect and he never stutters and stumbles. And I sit out there and by the time I get done, I'm just ready to quit the ministry. You know, I'm just going to go do something else because, and you know what? God has to say, I didn't make you to be him. I didn't make you to be him. I made you to be you. And so, folks, be you. But be a spirit-filled you, you know, from the womb. God fashioned each of us to his exact specifications. From the womb, God prepared us for what he had us to do. Not what somebody else is supposed to do, what he has us to do. Then God reveals to us in his good time the purpose or purposes that we've been created. Day by day, this unfolds. And then he empowers us to accomplish his purpose in our lives, in our sphere of influence, which again is unlike anybody else on the planet. And so, you know what, folks, to rob our Creator of the pleasure of seeing us do what he created us to do, well, that may be the greatest of all wickedness. To rob our Creator of the pleasure of seeing us do what he created us to do might be the greatest of all wickedness. And then the last one, we got to close it down. God searches me. I need to be honest with him. What a great prayer to pray. I pray this often, these exact verses. It's a wonderful thing. It's okay to pray parts of the Bible. And a lot of times when I'm praying, I'll pray these exact words. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What a good prayer. What a good prayer. Psalms 139, folks. I don't know. Seems like every week I teach a psalm and I convince myself that that's my favorite psalm. And then next week I'll teach another one and I'll say, forget 139. This is my favorite one. But for this week, it's Psalm 139. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, dear Lord. Thank you for including this beautiful, beautiful psalm as part of your inspired words. And I pray, Lord, that it'll help us this week, dear God. Thank you that you go before us. Thank you that you go come in behind us. Thank you that your good hot hand rests upon us. Lord, help us and forgive us, dear God. We're certainly not going to get it all right this week. And we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. And Lord, thank you for being a loving God and a forgiving God and a good God and a patient God. And Lord, help us as we seek to fulfill your will. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.